is on the air. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Ken Carpenter bringing you a preview of the film that every radio listener is waiting for, Love Thy Neighbor, the movie starring radio's two battling comedians, Jack Benny and Fred Allen.
Love Thy Neighbor. You should have Allen for a neighbor.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the picture that stars Jack and Fred together, with Mary Martin heading the supporting cast, and Barry Teasdale, the Mary Max, Virginia Dale, and Jack's man-of-all-work, Rochester, joining in the festivities. Love Thy Neighbor.
Love Thy Neighbor, yes, but love Benny, never.
It's a picture loaded with laughs and music, comedy and romance, not to mention a gang of the swellest-looking girls you've seen in years. That reminds me, Jack, where are the girls?
I'll find them right away. Oh, Joe! What happened to the girls?
I don't know. Hey, Eddie, where are the girls?
I don't know. Hey, Bill, where are the girls?
I don't know. Hey, Sam!
Never mind. Let it go. I'll find them myself.
Yes, sir, it's more fun than any picture in years, and we're happy today to be able to bring you the stars of Love Thy Neighbor in person to show you what goes on the screen. And to start our show off, we bring you one of America's favorite entertainers, Fred Allen.
Thank you.
Fred, how'd you like working with Jack Benny in Love Thy Neighbor?
Frankly, Mr. Benny is an artistic faux-paw. How people can laugh at that corn-fed clown is beyond me, sir. His idea of humor is giving his grandmother a hot foot and then hiding the fire extinguisher. He's as funny as a leak in an oxygen tent, and that's only a synopsis.
My word, suppose he heard you say that.
He's lower than a snail's outlook, and if I ever get my hands on him, I'll beat him incognito. I'll tear him...
You'll what, Allen?
You heard me.
Yes, I heard you, and you better close that slow leak.
Shh, Jack, Fred, we're on the air.
You better close that slow leak under your nose before I vulcanize it.
Put your hands up, Benny. I'll put so many lumps on you, you'll think you've got a skin full of tea bags.
Oh, yes? If I ever hit you on the nose, the world will finally know what you're using for blood.
Come in.
I was told I would find Jack Benny here.
Hello.
This is a break. It's Mary Martin, ladies and gentlemen, and Mary, you came just in the nick of time. Jack and Fred were just about to lace into each other. I think maybe if you got in there and danced or sang or something, it might relieve the tension.
You do sing and dance, don't you?
Oh, she sure does, Jack. And if she'll do a song for us right now, maybe you and Fred will get a chance to cool off.
Well, and what are we waiting for?
How about it, Mary?
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to have the Mary Max step up to the microphone to assist her.
Calm is the night, the wind is asleep, a drowsy old moon mopes above. Loudly comes the jolt, crash goes a thunderbolt. Isn't that just like love? Straight is your path, and firm is your step, and then at the drop of a glove. Where is South, which is North? Bang, it's July the 4th. Isn't that just like love? Isn't it odd to walk up to a dream and say, don't I know you? Isn't it weird to hear miracles talk and say, well, how do you do? Clear is your mind and strong is your will. A mountain is simpler to show. Then the ground falls apart, boom goes your apple cart. Isn't that just love, love?
Calm as the night, the wind is asleep, a drowsy old moon mopes above. All at once roses rain when there's a hurricane. Isn't that just like love? Straight is your path and firm is your step, and then at the drop of a glove, bridges burn, buildings fall, clang, there's a riot call. Isn't that just like love? Isn't it odd to bump into a cloud and say,
shake hands with fate, shake hands with fate.
Isn't it strange to make friends with a haze and hear, tomorrow at eight, bold are your views and lofty your aims. The stuff pioneers are made of, hold your hat, grab your heart, boom goes your apple cart. Hold your hat, grab your heart, boom goes your apple cart.
Isn't
that just like love? Isn't it just like love?
That was Isn't That Just Like Love, sung by Mary Martin, with vocal encores by the Merrimacks. And now we present that well-known musician, that fiddler extraordinary, that road company Heifetz, Jack Benny. Jack, won't you play something for us?
Very well, I'll play if you insist. Of course, I'll have to borrow a fiddle from one of the boys in the orchestra.
Give him yours, Alonzo.
Turn that passe Peter Pan off.
Why, Fred!
Turn him off!
What's the matter, Fred?
This is no time to quibble, man. In just 1 second, Jack Benny will be playing Love and Bloom.
Well, don't you like music?
Music? You call that music? Brother, I have heard the raucous wail of the wildcat at bay. I have heard the eerie shriek of a ghost with its ectoplasm caught in a transom. I have heard a man with false teeth chewing slate pencils. And any one of those ear-defiling sonatas was closer to Love and Bloom than Benny is right now. Get me out of here.
Well, Rochester or Rochester?
You call me, boss?
That's some costume, Rochester.
Well, now, what in the world are you supposed to be?
I'm Romeo. I'm taking my favorite Juliet to a masquerade tonight.
Rochester, before you and Juliet step out, here's Teresa Harris, your girlfriend, in both Buck Benny Rides Again and Love Thy Neighbor. What do you say to you and Teresa singing your newest number, Dearest, Darest I?
Okay. Dearest, darest, I whisper prettily unto thee. Thou art solid murder, what a kick thou givest me. When I'm sentimental, dost thou dig my jive? I feel gallant and gentle, is it bad if I'm glad I'm alive? Dearest, darest, I take thee tenderly in my arms, while I wax poetic on thy killer dilla charm. Hark ye to my ticker, that's the reason why I fain would call a victor. Oh, dearest, darest I.
My, my.
My, my.
Thou flyest high.
Thou tellest I.
Dearest, darest I, darest I reply. Sir, you sabotage me with that thee and thou and thy. Shakespeare was a jive man, but where is he today? Why, heaven's sakes alive, man, I'll say as things he couldn't say. Dearest, darest we,
hip, hip, hip,
up the middle aisle. Then forsooth and pr-yacky-sacky, we could live in style.
Lord and lady snarling, prithee do thou find at Stratford on the Harlem. Oh, dearest,
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 dearest
I.
Ah, very fine, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting on toward the end of our Love Thy Neighbor program now. But before we go, I want to bring our two stars to the microphone once more, because they've both promised me confidentially to give us their honest opinion on this picture. Now, first we have Fred Allen. Fred, what do you really think deep down in your heart about Love Thy Neighbor?
Love Thy Neighbor is gay, exciting, diverting, and entertaining, with the possible exception of the seconds or minutes that Mr. Benny is on the screen.
Oh, thank you, Fred. And now Jack Benny. Jack, have you anything to add to what Fred Allen has said?
Don't mind him, folks. The rest of us carry him along. And Love Thy Neighbor is really a very nice show.
Oh, I'm sure it is, Jack.
And oh, yes, I forgot to tell you. Mary Martin sings My Heart Belongs to Daddy in the picture. And I'm Daddy.
She sure does sing it, Jack. And she's going to show us right now just how she does it. Ladies and gentlemen, the girl who made the song famous, the song that made the girl famous, Mary Martin singing My Heart Belongs to Daddy.
love with those boys who call themselves buddies. I used to trail young men at Yale and make them fail in their studies. But now I've come to care for such a sweet millionaire. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy. But when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Dad. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine Finnan haddie, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I want to warn you, laddie, so I think you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy, and my daddy, he treats it so well. Though other dames at football games may long for a strong undergraddy, I never dream of playing the team, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I think you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy, and my daddy, he treats it so well.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been enjoying a radio preview of the new comedy, Love Thy Neighbor, in which Jack Benny shares top billing with Fred Allen.
Top billing? That no-account nasal non-entity? Allen's in the picture for a small role, but it's not much. How could it be?
I don't know how, but that's what it says here. Fred, who would you say gets top billing, you or Jack Benny?
It is true that Benny wormed his way into Love Thy Neighbor, but let me assure you, no one is required to love neighbor Benny. As if anyone could.
Well, folks, that's the way it goes. But whatever Jack says and whatever Fred says, the two battling comedians of the airways do share starring honors in Love Thy Neighbor, and they've shared them on this radio preview of the picture. Also featured on this program from the cast of Love Thy Neighbor were Mary Martin, Rochester, Teresa Harris, and the Merry Max. For a continuation of the melody and fun, we refer you to your favorite theater. This is Ken Carpenter speaking. This program was produced in the Paramount Studio in Hollywood.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, as is our custom every year at this time, tonight, we are going to present our annual New Year's fantasy.
But, Jack, how can we do our fantasy this year? Phil Harris always plays the part of Uncle Sam, and he's not with us.
Well, that's been taken care of, Don. I phoned the radio casting bureau, and they're sending up an actor. He ought to be here any minute. Hey, that must be the actor the casting bureau sent over. Come in. Well, hello there.
Pardon me, is this the Mandelbaum Meatball Jamboree?
I'm afraid you've got the wrong show, Bud. This is the Grape Nuts Flakes program.
Oh, I see. Well, Radio Casting Bureau sent me over here to play the part of Uncle Sam.
I see. I see. Well, have you had any experience in radio, Mr.
Allen is the name. Fred Allen. Fred Allen. Small L.
Fred Allen. You know, I think I know this guy from somewhere. Now, where was it?
Is his face familiar, Mr. Benny?
What is that, Dennis?
Is his face familiar?
No, I've never seen anything quite like it.
but I'll swear I know this guy.
Well, I happen to be in radio myself, Mr. Benny. Do you ever listen to Gloria Happy Finger, Girl Plumber? Yes. Well, you probably remember me. I play the part of Juniper Morgan III, the Wall Street Plunger.
Oh, yes, I hear that program every morning. So you're the plunger, eh?
Mm-hmm. The rubber drive may get me any minute, but I'm holding on there. And as a sideline, I also broadcast for Texaco Gasoline.
Gasoline?
Yes, it's sometimes called Ration Book Radium these days.
Oh, of course, gasoline. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with our particular type of program, Mr. Allen. You see, we do a very subtle type of show.
Mm-hmm.
If we get laughs, all right. If we don't, we don't.
Mother told me there'd be nights like this.
Very good, Mr. Allen. But what I mean is, we don't punch and press for laughs like other programs. One of which I definitely have in mind. Now, if you'd like to play the part of Uncle Sam, that's up to you. But first, Mr. Allen, are you an American citizen?
Oh, yes, Mr. Benny. I got these slant eyes from pulling off a tight derby.
Oh, I see. Well, the part is yours, Mr. Allen. Now about money. Just what do you expect for being on my program tonight?
Well, I expect nothing, Mr. Benny, and I know you'll come through.
Well, I'm sure we can get together. What is your free? I mean fee. What is your fee for a radio performance?
Well, that's up to you, Mr. Benny. I rely entirely upon your generosity.
Well, that's sweet of you.
Not sweet. The word is stupid, old boy.
Is that so? Mr. Allen, are you inferring that I'm tight?
Mr. Benny, you smoke cigars, don't you?
Yes.
Well, the average cigar smoker lights a cigar, smokes it down to his lips, and throws it away.
Well, what about it?
You are the only man I know who smokes a cigar until his gastric juices put it out.
I only hope I have as good jokes when I get on your program.
You will if you bring them. You'll have
to. I see. That serves me right from digressing. And well, to show you how wrong you are, Mr. Allen, I have a check in my hand for $500. Here you are.
Oh, thank you. Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Benny. There seems to be a slight mistake here. This check says 500 boxes.
No, that's 500 boxes. You know, dollars.
No, boxes. No, boxes. This check says 500 boxes of Grape Nuts Flakes.
Well, they're delicious.
Yes, my good man, because when Mr. Benny gives you 500 boxes of Grape Nuts Flakes, he's giving you thousands of servings of America's fastest-growing flake cereal.
Well, I know that, fat boy.
Just think. Mr. Allen, Grape Nuts Flakes in the big 12-ounce economy size package contain iron, niacin, and vitamin B1.
Vitamin B1?
Yes, brother.
And believe me, you can use it.
Now, it's all settled, Mr. Allen. You're not getting any cash. And now, folks, our New Year's fantasy will go on immediately after a number by Benny Goodman and his famous sextet.
Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our annual New Year's play entitled The New Tenant, or Goodbye 42, Hello 43. Now, once again, I will play the role of...
Say, Mr. Benny, you've been doing this kind of sketch for 4 years now, and I still don't understand it.
What?
I know it's a waste of time, but would you mind explaining it to me again?
No, I'd be glad to, Dennis.
Do you mind if I take the audience out for a smoke while this goes on?
Sir Allen, come back here. Incidentally, you're new with us, too, so you better pay attention. You see, Popeye, these little sketches we do at the close of each year are not so much plays as allegorical fantasies. They deal with the abstract and the esoteric rather than the prosaic. Is that clear, Dennis?
No, sir.
Hmm.
Not only that, my feet went to sleep.
Well, rub them. As I was saying, if I'm not too redundant, these annual plays are not prosaic, but the penultimate of abstract symbolism.
What does prosaic mean?
Prosaic?
I'll give you a hint, Mr. Benny. It's a town in New Jersey.
That's prosaic. Now, let's continue. In our sketch, ladies and gentlemen, I will play the part of the old year, 1942. I want you to visualize me, folks, as a tottering, broken-down old man with white hair and a wrinkled face.
What do you mean, visualize? There you are.
Wait a minute. I'm just bent over like this because I'm playing a part.
Well, that's the first time in history rheumatism has ever been confused with acting. Let me tell you.
Sir Allen, will you please sit down? Now, the old year lives in a big boarding house called the United States, run by Uncle Sam and his wife, Columbia. Now, Mary, you're going to be Columbia, and you have 48 children, one for each state in the Union.
48 children? Holy smoke.
Well, it's really nothing, Mary. It's just abstract symbolism.
Oh, you men always say that.
Never mind, that's your part. And now for our play. As the curtain rises, it is almost midnight of December 31st. And old man 1942 is up in his room, packing his bags and ready to make his exit. Curtain. Music. Oh, Columbia, will you come up here, please?
What do you want, 42?
Give me a hand with this packing, will you? Got to get out of here before midnight and make room for the new tenant.
Oh, yes. Little 43 will be here any minute.
Say, where's your husband, Uncle Sam? Like to say goodbye to him.
Oh, he's around someplace. You know, Sam's been pretty busy lately.
You said it. And all your kids have been pitching in, too.
Here comes Alaska, one of my adopted sons.
Oh, yes. Hello, Alaska.
Hello, old-timer. Hi, Mom.
Boy, is he spread out.
Yep, it's 1,000 miles from his Aleutians to a Sitka.
Oh, he's big, all right. Fine boy, though.
Say, Mom, have you seen Pa around? I got a few of them Japanese lights I want to get out of my hair.
He'll get them out. Don't worry, Alaska.
Okay, see you later, Mom.
Well, I might as well finish packing. Hand me that bundle of swing music. I'll take that.
Here you are.
Thanks. Mr. 5'5", 5 feet tall, and he's 5 feet wide. Boy, am I sick of that. Hey, Columbia, I got a few minutes yet. Tune in the radio, will you?
Okay. Here's Berlin.
Stutt, und wir steigen die Geigen für sie, die keine Minuten für Stuten, Stalingrad, und Minuten für Stuten, Tripoli, und Stuten, Bruten, Stuten, Benghazi.
Well,
boy, are we running.
And he ain't through yet. Get another station, Columbia.
Here's Tokyo.
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, honorable report from Butterfront. Japanese fleet set out to greet American. Boom, boom. No, Japanese fleet. So sorry, please. Ha ha.
Well, that's good news to be leaving on. Turn it off, Columbia. Say, what time is it?
About 3 minutes to midnight.
Well, I better get finished up here.
Oh, hello, Sam.
Well, Uncle Sam, where you been?
Oh, what a day, what a day. I've been visiting all my nephews all over the neighborhood. Had breakfast at Guadalcanal, lunch at Dutch Harbor, and supper in North Africa.
I'll tell you one thing, Sam. You never worked harder or looked better in your life.
Say, old-timer, get a load of this. I'm wearing two pair of suspenders.
Two pair? How long you been wearing them?
Ever since Pearl Harbor. I'll never get caught with them down again.
I know you won't. Say, Sam, I meant to ask you something. What are those things sprouting around in the backyard?
Those are Republicans. This is the first time they've come up in years.
Well, that's what I like about your garden, Sam. There's room there for everything to grow. Doggone, look at that clock. Just got my ducks together in time. First stroke 12. Wonder what's keeping the new tenant. Little fella should be here by now.
Well, don't worry. He'll show up.
Say, here's a little tip for you, Sam. You worked darn hard during the time I was here, and you did a good job. But I want you to work even harder for the little fella that's coming in.
Now, don't worry, old-timer. I'm really rolling now.
Time's a-fleeting, but I can't leave till that little shaver gets here.
That must be him now.
Yeah. Come in. Well, it's the little new year. Hello, son.
Hello.
What's that you got under your arm there?
It's a new book written by a fella named Rassi.
Oh, yeah. Ain't much plot to it, but I got a hunch it's going to be the bestseller. Won't hurt, though. Hey, kid. Want you to meet Uncle Sam and his wife, Columbia.
Glad to know you, folks.
Hello, Sonny.
Hiya, bub. You ought to have a coat on with them diapers. Chilly tonight.
I was sure cold the first night I got here. Well, son, hope you brought some things with you besides ration boots. What's that package you got under your other arm?
Well, that's just chock full of these.
These for victory, eh?
Yes, sir. They're pretty expensive, but I got a hunch that Uncle Sam will wind up with plenty of them.
He got all the ones I had. Well, might as well be moseying along now. Kind of hate to go, but... Hear that, son?
Yes, sir. What is it?
That song called Over There, written by one of Uncle Sam's favorite nephews. That boy used to be singing and dancing around this house all the time. Tell you, son, I sure wish he was still here. He was a real Yankee Doodle Dandy. Now, son, I want you to take care, Uncle Sam. Take care of all his friends and good neighbors, too.
Leave it to me, old-timer.
And look, I want you to keep the lights low here in the house for a while. Maybe inconvenient, but when you turn them on full blast again, it'll be brighter than ever. And say, before I forget it, Uncle Sam's got a nephew named Franklin that's been taking mighty good care of the old boy. Ain't he, Sam?
You're Dan Tootin'.
So keep an eye on him and give him all the help you can.
Franklin, huh? I'll write that down.
And here's some more names for you. MacArthur, Eisenhower, Doolittle, Nimitz. A whole lot more than Sam will give you.
I'll make a note of them.
Oh, yes, and there's some other friends of Sam's you don't want to forget. There's Churchill and Stalin and Chiang Kai-shek. If I had time, I'd name a dozen. Well, gotta be leaving. So long, Sam.
So long, old-timer.
Here I go.
So long, 42.
So long, Columbia. Keep them flying.
I've made up my mind. If Alan doesn't get here for rehearsal in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to cancel him. I wonder where he can be. He hasn't any friends out here. Maybe. I don't. Will it be anything else, Mr. Allen?
Yes, waiter. I'll have another cup of coffee.
You know,
Mr. Allen, before I took this job here at the Brown Derby, I was a waiter at Lindy's.
Really?
Now, how are things back in New York?
Well, they're about the same, except we have a water shortage, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've been reading about that. Did it affect you personally?
Well, it didn't bother me much at first, but after several weeks, something told me to take a bath.
Supposed to be on Jack Benny's program today?
And how I hate it.
Well, this is none of my business, but how much is Benny going to pay you?
Well, I don't know yet, but my lawyer filed suit against him 2 weeks ago.
Wait a minute. You ain't even been on his program yet, and you started suing him 2 weeks ago?
My friend, when you deal with Benny, it's always best to get a running start.
You mean he's really that cheap?
Chief. Why, Benny is so tight that last summer when he was out on a dude ranch, he kept his money in a wildcat's mouth. And he was snide enough to find a wildcat with tonsillitis so it couldn't swallow. Well, I'd better get going. I have to go to that old man's rehearsal over there. Say, which network is he lousing up now?
Oh, he's at CBS. It's just 2 blocks from here.
Say, on second thought, you know, I think I'll let him stew a little while. Bring me another cup of coffee.
See, I can't understand what's keeping Fred.
Oh, Jack, take it easy. He'll be here any minute.
Well, when we go to court, I'm certainly going to bring up about him being late. Oh, Rochester, will you run out and see if you can find Mr. Allen? Maybe he's at Lyman's or at the Derby. Somewhere.
Yes, sir.
See, that Allen is certainly a thoughtless guy. He's been doing things like this to me since the first day I met him.
Jack, I've been with you for so many years, and I never knew how you first met Fred Allen.
Oh, it happened in Boston a long time ago.
Well, tell me about it, Jack.
All right, Don. It was many, many years ago when vaudeville was at its height. I was the headliner at the Metropolitan Theater in Boston. One night after the supper show, I was sitting in my dressing room resting from my 7 encores. I was removing my makeup. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Mr. Benny, my name is Fred Allen.
Uh-huh.
I'm appearing here at the Metropolitan.
Well, that's funny. I don't remember any Fred Allen on this bill.
I'm in the opening act.
Oh, I thought the opening act was Pink's Mule.
I took my makeup off, Mr.
Oh, so you're with Fink's Mule?
Uh-huh. May I sit down?
Yes, but not too close. Now, what can I do for you, young man?
Tell me, Mr. Benny, what do you think of this new entertainment medium that's just starting up, this thing called radio?
Well, I've been giving it a lot of thought. In fact, I already have an idea for a radio program.
You have?
Yes. On my program each week, I'll visit a place called Benny's Boulevard, where I'll start knocking on doors and ask topical questions of 4 people.
4 people?
Yes, a southern senator, a rube who says, howdy, bub.
Oh.
A Bronx housewife and an Irishman.
Gosh, what a novel idea for radio. You know, that might even replace the street singer.
Yes, you'll have to excuse me now, Alan. I've got to get dressed for dinner.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Benny, and thank you so much, sir, for your help. I will always treasure the memory of this meeting. Meeting the greatest comedian in the world, sir. I'm backing out, sir.
Thank you. And that, Don, is how I first met Fred Allen and why I dislike him so much.
Jack, you mean...
Yes, he stole my radio idea and called it Allen's Alley. See, I wonder if Rochester has found him yet.
I'll have another cup.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Allen. I've been looking all over for you.
Oh, hello, Rochester. Say, I was just getting ready to go over to the studio.
Well, let's hurry, Mr. Benny's awful upset. Come on, I'll show you the shortcut to CBS.
Sure. After all these years, Rochester, you'd think Benny would change. But he's just as bad as when I first met him in Boston many years ago.
I never did hear about how you two first met. Would you tell me about it, Mr. Allen?
I was headlining at the Metropolitan Theater in Boston. And one evening after the supper show, I was sitting in my dressing room removing my makeup. Come in.
Mr. Allen?
Yes?
My name is Jack Benny.
Well, I'm glad you got here. It's the cold water faucet that's leaking. No, I'm not the plumber. See, I'm appearing here on the vaudeville bill with you. Jack Benny, Jack. Say, I didn't see your name on the program.
Oh, I'm in the opening act.
But the show opens with a Japanese flash act. Yamaguchi and Takamura. Gosh, they're wonderful. The way they lie on their backs and juggle that big barrel with their feet.
I know. And inside of that barrel, me.
No.
Oh, yes, Mr. Allen. While they're balancing that barrel and kicking it up in the air, I'm curled up inside with my violin, playing Ireland Must Be Heaven because my mother came from there.
What an inspired touch. I can just hear that music coming out through the bunghole. Well, so much for flattery. Now, what can I do? What can I do for you, son?
Mr. Allen, sir, yes. You've got to help me. I want to be a great comedian like you.
Well, if you're so anxious to earn big money, why don't you turn to radio?
Radio?
Yes, it's a gold mine. Say, I'm working on an idea for a program for myself. Now, my idea is this. I'll be the star, you see. A girl to insult me, a drunken orchestra leader, and a fat announcer.
Well, here's the studio, Mr. Allen. Let's go in.
No, Rochester. I can't go in.
What?
I can't do it, Rochester. I can't let Benny give me a job. I may be a derelict down and out, but I've still got my pride.
But, Mr. Allen...
No, I'm sorry, Rochester. I just can't do it.
But, Mr. Allen, you haven't got any money. How are you going to live?
Don't worry about me. I'll get along. Maps! Get your maps to the movie star at home. James Mason, Ronald Coleman, Mr. and Mrs. Gary Cooper, Mr. and Mrs. Robert Taylor. You can't tell me...
And now, folks, going from the ridiculous to the nauseating... Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Sorry I'm late, pal. I bet you thought I'd never get here.
I prayed for it. Well, tell me, Phil, how do you like broadcasting on Friday for a change?
I don't know. How much change am I going to get? That Harris is phenomenal with a capital F tonight. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You corny. But on the level, Phil... Don't you think Sunday is a pretty blank day now that all the comedians are off for the season?
What do you mean, all the comedians? Fred Allen is still broadcasting.
Phil, calling Allen a comedian is like slipping a rocking chair under Gypsy Rose Lee and calling her Whistler's mother. Allen a comedian. Look, fellas, anybody can get laughed with that stuff Fred Allen does every week. Take that Allen's Alley, for instance. There's nothing to it.
What do you mean, there's nothing to it?
I mean, it's a surefire formula. Now, look, every Sunday he goes around, knocks on doors, and asks a question. I'll show you. Give me that close tape.
What are you going to do, Jackson?
I'm going to put it on my nose and make off like Fred Allen and take a trip to Benny's Boulevard. Now, Mary, you be Portman Hopper. Dennis, I want you to be Socrates Mulligan. And Phil, you're Falstaff, the highbrow poet. All right, Mary, let's go. Wait till I get this close pin on my nose. Wait.
May.
Yes, go ahead, Mary. Start it.
Okay. Oh, Mr. Benny! Mr. Benny!
Well, what is it, Seattle? As the broom said to the dustpan, what do you hear from the mob? I ad-lib that, folks. I'm always ad-libbing.
Mama says if you don't stop ad-libbing, someday you're going to say something funny and surprise everybody.
Oh, your mother.
Have you got a question for Benny's Boulevard, Mr. Benny?
I certainly have, Seattle, and this is it. Who is the funnier comedian, Jack Benny or Fred Allen? And here we go to Benny's Boulevard to investigate. Well, here we are at Benny's Boulevard.
Allen's alley, Mr. Benny?
I can't tell. I've got this clothespin on my nose. Well, let's find out what John Doe has to say.
Oh, it's you again.
Good afternoon. Now tell me, Mr. Doe, do you listen to radio?
Only the commercials. You know, when they talk about what they're selling.
Well, what about the show itself that follows the commercial?
Well, by the time that starts, I'm already down at the corner buying the stuff.
I see. Then you wouldn't know who's the funnier comedian, Fred Allen or Jack Benny.
Nah. All I know is B.O.
I see. Now, Seattle. Now, Seattle, we'll see what Mrs. Nussbaum has to say.
No!
Tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, who do you think is the funniest comedian on the radio?
Well, my first husband liked Abbott and Castellanos.
That's Costello.
And my second spouse is liking Fibber, McGee, and Becky.
I see. Well, tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, who is your favorite comedian? Is it Jack Benny?
You should live so long.
Are we going home now, Mr. Benny?
What are you holding your nose for?
Shall I tell him, folks?
Seattle, behave yourself. Now to find out what Socrates Mulligan thinks. He lives right here. Well, Mr. Mulligan, get this one, folks. Well, Mr. Mulligan, I'm here to stew with you. I'm an ad-libbing fool. Now, Mr. Mulligan, I'm going to name two comedians, and you'll tell me which one you prefer. First, Fred Allen.
Oh, he makes me laugh.
And what does Jack Benny make you do? Seattle, we're not getting anyplace.
Try this next house, Mr. Benny.
Okay.
Welcome, friend. Pray do come in. Falstaff's here, and I ain't thin.
You ain't fat either. There I go with another ad lib. Falstaff, tonight? This thing is killing me up here. Falstaff, tonight? Tonight we have a brand new question for you.
That is precisely why I'm here.
That's precisely. Precisely.
I have rotten a poem.
That precisely was right.
Have you heard? This isn't a blackout, Uncle Mo. You bought that hat too big.
No, I haven't.
Or, I've saved the gloves that Mother wore when she knocked out Gunboat Smith.
Now, wait a minute, Falstaff. My question tonight is this. Who do you think is a funnier comedian, Fred Allen or Jack Benny?
Allen is corny. He's nasal, he's dull. Benny's the same with no hair on his skull.
But all that I asked was for you to compare us.
For a socko comedian, just give me Phil Harris.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we wave goodbye to Benny's Boulevard as two pretty waves wave back. This ad-libbing will be the death of me. See what I mean, folks?
Fred, my darling.
Nice to have you back on radio. I've missed you.
Oh, so you are the one. According to Hooper, you are the one.
No, darling, we've all missed you. Why don't you come back, Fred?
Well, I'll tell you, darling. I have been dabbling in something which, for the want of a better name, we shall call television.
Please, darling, people are eating.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say, you didn't by any chance happen to see me on my first television show, did you?
No, I didn't, Fred.
You weren't home?
Oh, yes, I was home, darling.
Oh, no set, darling?
No guts, darling.
Well, you know television's a new medium, and I have discovered why they call it a medium. Because nothing is well done. Oh, very good.
Oh, darling, I think you're so funny.
So you are the one.
No, Fred. No, seriously speaking, darling.
Well, as if we haven't been. What else?
No. Why did you leave radio?
Well, I'll tell you, Tallulah. They wanted me to do one of those programs where you call up people on the telephone and ask them questions and give them prizes, you see. And that's why I quit and went into television.
Do you mean?
Yes, it was a choice between the medium and the telephone.
Wait for love. Oh, excuse
me. Don't read the stuff in parentheses. You skip that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred. I'm sorry. Well, anyway, I'm glad I was able to get you back on radio, even if it is only as a guest.
Uh-huh.
You know, when they told me about this big-name broadcast, I told them it wouldn't be a big-name broadcast without you, Fred.
Well, in radio, Fred has been a four-letter word for some time.
Oh, in fact, I insisted that they put you on this show.
Well, you insisted? You met with some stiff opposition, did you?
Well, I had to go through channels.
Oh, I say, I've read about those channels, but I had thought of coming back to radio if I could find a new formula, a format, you know. I did get one idea, and strangely enough, it came from Portland. She seemed to think that if I...
Mr. Allen!
Well...
Mr. Allen!
Well, as I stand here and feign surprise, if it isn't Portland now. Portland, Georgia, I had some more here. See, we didn't rehearse the audience. It says applause after this, but you see... Rehearsal, this is what's mixing things. Portland, you're just in time. This is Tallulah Bankhead.
Hello, Portland. I'm glad to see you.
How do you do, sir?
Portland, I understand that you weren't on the first television show Fred did. Why was that?
But my dress wasn't cut low enough.
Oh. You mean a dress with a V-neck?
A TV neck.
Well, before this conversation gets too fey, Portland... Portland, how about telling Tallulah the idea you thought up for a radio show for me?
Oh, I didn't think of it. No. Mama thought of it.
Oh, your mother is writing for radio now? Well, by the way, I was on television the other night, Portland. Did your mother see me?
Oh, she never could.
You mean that your mother thinks that I...
As Mama put it, to the
hospital. Lib a stinging retort.
Fred, you're reading the parentheses.
Oh, the parentheses. This jumbo type. Oh, yes. Well, Portland, enough of Mama as a George G. nothing. Now, how about this idea of hers for a radio show?
Yes, let's hear the idea.
The idea.
Well, Mama thought first you ought to have an announcer who is big and fat and jolly,
yeah,
and laughs all through the program.
Yucks it up, huh?
And you ought to get an orchestra leader who's tall, good-looking, and eats ham hocks.
Ham hocks? Well, say, Portland, that sounds like...
And you have a young fellow who sings, and his mother always wants you to pay him more money.
Singer, but Portland, that idea...
And you have a butler who drives your car, which is a broken-down Maxwell.
Maxwell, but...
And you have a quartet that sings your commercial...
Commercial, but...
And for your sponsor, you get a cigarette company.
Cigarette, but...
And you'll be the star of the show, Mr.
Oh,
Allen.
Really? I can be in it, too,
uh-huh.
Huh?
You wear a toupee.
Yeah.
You're always 39 years old.
Uh-huh.
You play a violin, and you do your own laundry.
Yeah.
And you have a washing machine that you rent out to your neighbors.
Say.
And you're very tight, and you keep your money down in a ball.
I'm sort of the pinch penny type, huh?
Yes, and that's a wonderful title. You could call it the Pinch Penny Program.
Well, I don't know, Portland. What's the future in becoming a salesman for Jell-O? I mean, where could you go?
Well, what's the matter? Do you think Mama's idea revolutionary?
Well, it is a little revolting.
What do you think, Miss Bankhead? You haven't had any lines for a whole page.
I was wondering when you'd notice, darling.
Do you think that kind of a program would go anywhere?
Yes, darling, to another network.
Well, how about trying out this idea right now, Mr. Allen?
No, I don't think I could.
But, Mr. Allen, what have you got to lose?
Face.
An excellent reason for doing it, darling. So on with the Pinch Penny program.
Pinch Penny.
The Pinch Penny program. Ha, 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 ha. 30 minutes of hijinks with your favorite radio comedian, star of stage, screen, and laundry, Pinch Penny. Well, here it is, 7 o'clock, and Pinch Penny isn't here yet. I wonder where he can be.
Say, that always gets me. There's a guy who gets $25,000 a week for doing that program, and you know he's not going to be late. He's probably been standing there since noon with his bare money belt hanging out. Try another opening. Could you scare up another opening?
Okay. Well, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first show of the new season. And so we give you the star of our show, just back from an extended 3-month, 40-cent tour of Radio City, Pinch Penny.
Hello again, this is Pinch Penny. And Don Thomas, you know that's not true. You know I took a cruise to Honolulu. It was a wonderful boat trip.
Really? How did you go, Mr. Penny? First class?
Well, not exactly.
Second class?
Well, no, you see...
Third class?
Well, no, Donzie.
Oh, then you must have gone steerage.
Steerage? Why, Don, how can you say that about me?
It's easy. Didn't you find it pretty crowded down in steerage?
Don, for your information, I'll have you know that I had the whole boat to myself.
What boat was that?
Well, it was one of those little boats that hangs over the side of the big boat.
Oh, so you went stowaway.
Yes, that's the class I was trying to think of. And it's the only way to travel. Wind, my hair.
Your hair, Mr. Penny?
Well, I had it hanging over the side of the boat. Now, stop that, Don.
Did you like Honolulu?
Oh, it's so colorful there. And I'll never forget the day we docked. All the little native boys standing on the pier. And the people on the boat throwing pennies into the water. And the way those little rascals dive in and fight to get that money.
They go to all that trouble for pennies?
Well, after all, Don, it's not taxable. No inheritance tax or anything. Liquid assets, you know, just as you pick it out.
Now, Mr. Penny, don't tell me that you...
Now, Don, please, after all, say, where is everybody? Where's Dennis? I want to talk to Dennis about his song for our first show.
Oh, here he is. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Don. Mr. Penny, my mother thinks...
Hello, Dennis.
My mother thinks I ought to get more money for this new season.
I said hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Penny. My mother thinks I ought to get more money for this new season.
Now, later, kid. Now, look, for your first song this year...
My mother thinks I'm underpaid.
Your mother doesn't know what she's talking about. Now, for your...
Ooh, what you said.
Now, for your first song...
My mother is the brains of the family.
Some brains. Now, look, kid, for your first song...
She was an honor graduate from the University of Southern California.
Come louder.
I say she was an honor graduate from the University of...
Now, cut that out. I pay you ample salary.
You mean sample. My mother says that Bing Crosby makes as high as $50 a week and sometimes $75.
Well... Bing Crosby has a lot of interest. He's in the orange juice business. He owns a baseball club.
Where does he find the time for all that?
He makes movies. He runs a racetrack.
Where does he find the time for all that?
He has 4 sons.
Where does he find the time?
Yes.
Where? Well, my mother either says I get money or I'll quit.
Well, goodbye, darling. Goodbye, Dennis.
Every time I open my mouth to quit, somebody says, goodbye, darling. All right, goodbye. And my mother says she's going to send you back these pennies you sent from Honolulu.
Where? Mr. Penny, you don't mean you dove for pennies with those kids in Honolulu.
Well, the water was so delightfully warm, Donzie. And now I am in a spot.
Where is everybody, Mr. Penny? We got to have a rehearsal of the show.
Well, Portchester should be here any minute with the scripts.
Well, here's Portchester now.
Oh, yes. Hello, Portchester.
Hello, Bo.
Don, Now, look, darling. I mean, Porchester. Did you finish typing the scripts?
Yes, boss, but I had a lot of trouble. It's tough to write on a typewriter with only 5 keys on it.
Only 5 letters on that typewriter?
Well, what's the map done very well with those 5 letters?
So what 5 letters are they, Porchester?
LS, MF, and T. Well, it's like sending up smoke signals.
Well, it's a Corona typewriter, isn't it?
Mr. Penny, I think you're the funniest.
Oh, so you're the one.
Well, I wish the rest of the cast would get here so we could rehearse.
Well, Mr. Penny, I have the quartet here if you wanted to run over the commercial.
We have no commercial. This is a sustaining program.
But they've already rehearsed it, Mr. Penny, haven't you, fellas?
But, fellas, we don't need a quartet. We have no commercial.
Okay, fellas, let them hear it.
But, fellas...
S-U-S-T-A-I-N-I-N-G, we're S-U-S-N-G, who's sustaining O-T-V?
But, fellas...
S-U-S-T-A-I-N-I-N-G, all our stars are here.
Boys, men...
S-U-S...
Quiet! Quiet! Now, look. Whack! Another whale and I'll strike oil. Fellas, I haven't got time for that now. I'm waiting for my clarinet teacher. He's supposed to be here. I'm going to call him up and see what's keeping him. Hand me that phone, will you, Porchester?
Here you are, Bo.
Thank you. Hello? Hello, operator? What is the matter with those girls out there?
Mindy, Blue Eyes is flashing.
If they are, Ethel, it's the first time I ever saw them flash.
Did he give you a present when he got back from his vacation?
Yeah, he gave me a locket. Ain't it a beauty?
Oh, yeah, an Indian head.
But it's nice, though, isn't it?
Oh, they're a dime a dozen.
Oh, not these. They've gone up. They're 10 for a dime. But instead of bringing me expensive gifts, I sure wish he'd stop making up new rules.
Oh, Mindy, you're always telling me about your troubles. I have troubles, too, but you never ask me how I'm getting along.
All right, Ethel. How are you getting along?
Don't ask.
Hey, how are you getting along with Herman?
Don't ask.
Gee, I thought he was going to take you out Saturday night.
Didn't ask.
Why, I thought he had intentions.
Oh, sure he's got intentions, but he don't want to get married.
You sure got to hand it to him.
Not Herman. He takes it himself.
But what happened to that other fellow? What's his name? You know, Harry.
Oh, I could never marry him.
Why not?
Well, we used to ride home on the subway together, and I got off on 34th Street, and he got off on 23rd Street.
So what?
So I realized I could never marry a man below my station.
Say, Ethel, he's flashing again.
Maybe we ought to answer. Hello, hello, yes, hello.
Hey, what's going on out there? I want you to get my clarinet teacher on the phone for me. Gold digs, Indian head she wants. Yeah.
I'm back, Mr. Penny. My mother changed my mind.
Oh, she did.
But this is going to be my last season because for next year, my mother's got me a contract with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer for $1,000 a week.
$1,000?
Oop. Well... That's right, $1,000 a week.
MGM signed a contract with you?
Ooh, signed.
Now cut that out.
Have no fear, Meredith Harris is here.
Well, it's about time. It's about time you showed up. Where were you?
Now, take it easy, Dad. I'm here, ain't I? Where was you, he asked me.
Where was you? I said, where were you?
Okay, if you're going to get geometrical about it. Well, ain't we dandy. If I'd have known, I'd have brung you an apple.
It's not brung, it's brought.
Ah, tell it to the morons. What goes around here? How about the rehearsal?
You'll have to wait until we get through with my clarinet lesson. Until my teacher comes, I think I'll do a little practicing. Mm-hmm. My teacher will be here any minute. He comes by bus, so it'll take a little while for him to get here.
I think I'll go down and have an ice cream soda.
I think I'll go down, too. I'll have an ice cream soda with you. I'm going down, too. I can't stand any more of this.
Well, come with us. You going to have a soda?
Yeah. I always take one jigger of soda. Got to leave plenty of room for that good...
Hello,
back again, are you, Portland?
Well, tell me, what did your mother think of the way we took off that sterling character she originated for radio?
Well, Mr. Allen, she doesn't think it's your type of program.
Oh, really?
She has another fellow in mind for it.
Mr. Livingston, I presume?
Well, she has got a wonderful idea that would just fit you.
Oh, another idea, really?
Uh-huh. She thinks you ought to have a program where you walk down an alley.
Yeah.
And you talk to people you meet there.
Yeah.
Like a southern congressman and an Irish...
Surefire jokes. And find myself broadcasting at the same time everybody else is listening to a quiz program someplace. I know what you mean, Paul, and I'm not going through that again. No, sir, I'm not...